Rio de Janeiro with Jimmy Cliff, 1968. Over a period of 6 months in 1968, I got to know Jimmy Cliff rather well. I liked him and found him to be a very calming person, gifted, with a smile that charmed all who came within its reach. A dynamic performer, his music recording career was at a low ebb, and he was living and waiting in hope for Island Records to launch him to stardom. But there was a long queue of others, including ourselves, who had the same idea. Jimmy did not have the time or patience to wait in the wings. As the weeks passed, he became more despondent and desperate about the situation, and I saw much less of him at the office. I had the feeling that he was ready to quit England, unless he could force Chris Blackwell into keeping his Jamaican promise. A few weeks before, I had written a song with Alex Baropoulos called Waterfall, and Jimmy had been the vocalist on the demo recording. He had performed it really well, with drive and enthusiasm. But what I did not know was that Elsa, the PA to Chris Blackwell, had used her initiative and sent the demo recording to the organisers of the Rio de Janeiro Song Festival in Brazil. About 3 weeks later, I went to the Oxford Street office for a Nirvana meeting with Jimmy Miller. Elsa called me over and in her calm way said, "Patrick, would you like to go to Rio de Janeiro, all expenses paid?" It was like being asked to be the first Irish astronaut. By an amazing stroke of luck, Jimmy had been selected by festival organisers to represent Jamaica singing our song. I had to laugh to myself, something written by a Greek and an Irishman representing the land of reggae. As luck would have it, Alex had already booked a flight to Greece for family reasons, so there was no lottery to fill the composer's representation. 1 week later, I was on my way with Mr. Jimmy Cliff in his acoustic guitar, Italian suit, and Cuban heel boots. Paul Anka, the Righteous Brothers, Francois Hardy, and Anita Harris represented their countries, and Jimmy, a very proud Jamaican, performed like a man possessed. He was awarded a special prize for the best stage performance of the festival and was booked for all the top TV shows in Brazil. He was a natural, as time was later to show with his movies. The Brazilians took to him as one of their own, and I knew that we would not be returning to England together. When the festival ended, Jimmy flew to São Paulo for a TV show, and I went to Dakar in West Africa before returning to England. A few months later, I was told by Chris Blackwell that Jimmy had made a name for himself in Brazil, and on a visit to Kingston in Jamaica to see his own family, by accident he had met Cat Stevens, who played him his composition of Wild World, which Jimmy recorded and turned into an instant hit. The rest is really a rags-to-riches story. I shall always remember walking with Jimmy on the Copacabana beach, alight with burning candles, on the feast of La Mancha, goddess of the sea. And the night we went to the samba school in one of the shanty towns, where a man pulled a gun and started shooting through the crowded dancing room. The drums never stopped, even as they transported away the wounded between a cavalcade of siren-hooting police Harley Davidsons. I sometimes have to look at the Brazilian entry visa in my passport to be sure that I really did go down to Rio with Jimmy Cliff. He could not have chosen a better location to launch his singing and writing career, and when his chance came along, he took it with arms open wide. It gives me a lot of satisfaction, however, that such brilliant songwriters as Paul Simon and the late John Lennon and Harry Nilsson would later record Jimmy Cliff compositions. Because were it not for the Irishman and the Greek who composed Waterfall, who knows what might have happened to the recording and writing career of Jimmy Cliff.